going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It is a Saturday morning on CCO. Time once again to talk a little bit about cars. Your car, your truck, your van, you may be having problems with those, and you want to know what could be ailing before you bring in them for service. Why don't you call Nick Stoffel, or you can send him a text. Nick runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul and Grand Avenue. He will kind of give you a little diagnosis over the radio about what could be wrong with your vehicle. Or maybe you just want to ask a general question about what does it take to become an auto technician or a mechanic, as we used to say. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
By the way, happy belated birthday.
I thought we were going to forget about that, but thank you.
Oh, believe me, there will be more on your part, I hope. I wanted to ask you something as we wait for some calls or text messages. By the way, if you have, take the opportunity to ask Nick your car care question, either by phone or by text, Nick, and sooner rather than later, Nick will take his leave about 7:45 this morning, making way for Ted Farrell's Wine Chat. So if you have a question, love to hear from you, 651-461-9226, any kind of a car care question. Anything maybe you want to know about mechanics, as I said. Now, I want to ask you this. We haven't talked about the job of an auto technician. We know it's a good one. And if you have that kind of ability, it's something that young people maybe should pursue. But what's changed? You've been in the business a while. You're not an old guy, but you've been around for a while. And what's changed? Certainly the technology. But what have the changes have you seen since you were just a kid there?
Well, you're right. I've been at Lloyd's since 1998, so that's a little bit of time. And it really has changed in the sense is, you know, you're still working on mechanical items, there's still some dirt and grease, but it's not the grease monkey per se that it used to be. You know, cars are much cleaner, they run much cleaner. And, you know, really the most fascinating part is that the electronics, the diagnostics, the way these different sensors and components affect each other and affect how the car runs. So the critical thinking is it's kind of exciting, and every so often we get stumped and got to kind of work through it and, you know, take different approaches. And obviously the reward is once we figure it out, and sometimes we have to kick ourselves in the rear saying, why didn't we think of that before? But it happens. But there's your regular maintenance, and you have brake jobs and tires and all, you know, those normal things. But every so often we'll get one that's kind of a bit of a trick, and we'll have to kind of work as a team and kind of work through it. And, you know, fortunately we get really good folks, so we always kind of find the right result at the end. But the process can be pretty entertaining.
And we, for those that young folks or anyone that's interested, we have some pretty good tech schools here, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. You know, in St. Paul, we have St. Paul Technical. There's Dakota County, Hennepin, Dunwoody, which is where I went a long time ago. And all those schools are just great. And I know they have room for enrollment. I know the enrollment is up, which is a good sign that we have more young folks getting into the trade, or all the trades for that matter, because I think the future with the way the world is. And I think those jobs, those service jobs, won't ever go away. So we need more people in them.
Yeah, absolutely. 651-461-9226. Tell you what, they're coming in fast and furious. Let's grab a couple of phone calls and then some text messages. Daryl, first up, you're calling from Waverly, Minnesota. Thanks, Daryl. What is your question for Nick?
Yeah, good morning. I have a 2016 Ford Expedition, and not every, but periodically on startup, I'll hear a rushing of coolant into the heater core. Just wondering if there's an air bubble in the line or something, or if that's what would be causing that.
Well, that would be my suspicion. We've got some air flowing around there. So the first thing we'd want to do is look at the coolant level. You know, on a cold day, you know, you go to the morning, or on a cool day, check that level. See, you know, start the vehicle up, see if you hear the noise. Monitor that level. If it's getting lower in that reservoir, that tells me that there is some sort of leak because air's getting in, therefore coolant's getting out. So what you're hearing is when you start it up and the water pump starts circulating, moving that coolant around, there's a rushing noise there because there is... You know, I don't know if there's a leak or not yet, but I guess that would be the first thing we'd do is we'd pressure test it, check the level, try to duplicate the noise. So really, if you can make any kind of note saying, hey, every time I start it, after it's been driven for a while, if it's overnight, first time in the morning, do you have the heat or the air conditioning on? And any of those types of clues can really help try to pinpoint the source of the noise and to confirm whether or not there is air in the cooling system.
All right. Good luck, Daryl. Thank you. Tom phoning in this morning from Egan, I do believe. Tom, good morning. What is your question?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I've been getting some feedback on these auto stop starts on these new cars. Some say it's hard on the car, and others say it's really good, use it. I'm just wondering, is it okay to use those things or not?
Well, I think the start-stop technology is great. If you do a little research, you'll learn that most of the emissions emitted by the vehicle are at idle, meaning at a stoplight, stop sign, where you're at a standstill. So the fact that the vehicle senses that, it shuts itself off. As soon as you lift your foot off the brake and apply it to the gas, it starts right back up, kind of like a golf cart. Now, some will say, oh, it's really hard on the starter, and there's lots of thoughts there, and I guess you could argue that there's more wear and tear on the starter, but I don't know how to measure that, to be honest. But what they can measure is that the emissions coming out of the vehicle are way less. So I think that trade-off is absolutely worth it. We want to be good to our environment, and emitting less emissions is a good thing. So I would say the start-stop technology is great. Time will tell on wear and tear, obviously, but at this point, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, you're right. Time will tell on that. Texter says this, Nick. I have a 2001 Chevy Silverado, 5.3 liter, 71,000 miles on it. Runs great. I have switched, Texter says, from conventional oil to synthetic. Is it okay to change the interval from 3,000 to 5,000 miles? I would say yes, and I bet you would too.
Yeah, and the synthetic oil, I think it is appropriate to do it 5,000 miles. I know some might say longer, and you know, lots of opinions out there, and that's fine. Everybody's right, has the right to their own opinion. I base mine on the repairs that we're doing, and you know, these oil change intervals, they get much longer over a longer period of time. We start to see some mechanical issues with the engine. So conventional oil, 3,000 miles. Synthetic oil, a full synthetic, good quality oil, 5,000 miles, and your car will be as happy as it can be.
Very good. My mechanic, Dexter, says it's okay to drive our car even though the evaporator emissions purge warning light is on. Do you think that's true?
Well, I don't think that purge system is going to greatly affect the way the vehicle runs. A couple concerns there. It is an emission that we're emitting. That's not good. That's your only warning light. If something else happens within the vehicle that's a little more critical, that could leave you stranded, you've already used your warning up and you won't know that it's happening. So I like to say anytime a check engine light is on, the assessment needs to be completed. If you have the means to get it repaired now, or in this case, if it's not critical, maybe you have a little time to budget out for it, but ultimately it needs to be fixed to make sure the rest of the car is up and running well.
All right. Hang on, Nick. We're going to take a quick break here. Again, invite our listeners to join in. If you have any kind of a car care question, love to hear from you either by phone or by text. Here's the way to do it. 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830 WCCO, stay with us. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We are here every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour. Thanks to Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul for answering any kind of a car care question you might have. Nick, for those folks that maybe find out they do need some assistance from Lloyd's, how do we find Lloyd's Automotive?
Yeah, absolutely. If you have a question or need some advice before you take it into your dealership or your local shop, we're more than willing and able to give you a hand there. You can call us at 651-228-1316. And as summer is upon us here, you can if you're on Grand Avenue in St. Paul, we're at 982 Grand. Stop and say hi. And you can find all that information and more at our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
And we will give you that info before Nick takes his leave, which is about 7:45 this morning. So call us or text us any kind of a car care question. Love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. A listener sent this text, Nick. They bought a brand new pickup truck. Of course, Texas says they try to sell you the undercoating. What is your opinion? Now, we get this from time to time, as you know. What's your opinion on that? I heard Texas says it's not worth the money.
You know, a lot of things are a matter of opinion. And I guess in this particular area, I would say I think you're better served to, you know, keep the vehicle clean in the winter months, you know, spend an extra dollar or two to get the undercarriage washed and knock that salt and stuff down. I think those products do a fine job of getting all the accessible, easy surfaces, but oftentimes where the rust started, those nooks and crannies that nothing can get to except for that salt in the wintertime. So I would say keeping a clean vehicle is first and foremost. Obviously, if you feel strongly about the product, there's not anything wrong with it. You know, it's a protective layer, but it's a matter of opinion. And, you know, like, so once again, me personally, I just try to keep my car clean.
A lot of great, especially the newer car washes, really do a good job, in my opinion, of getting that underbody wash. But, you know, I think there are things, you know, that you can attach to your garden hose as well, right? Have you seen those that you can kind of keep the underbody clean?
Absolutely. And even like the way they're making vehicles now, like, you know, the finishes products and all that, it's the materials that they're using are, yes, much more corrosive resistant. You know, cars don't rust out like they used to, for sure.
True.
Even,
yeah,
even in the climate they're in. So I would say, you know, but, you know, I don't want to talk anyone out of anything. I think it's a fine product. You know, it depends on your preferences, but I personally would just try to keep it good and clean.
Very good. Another text says this: I have a 1987 IROC. Wow, 21,000 miles. I drive it about 100 miles each summer. It has the original tires. How concerned should I be about the tires? Good question.
That's pretty old. You know, the tire compound will break down. They'll start to, what we call, you know, rot out a little bit and start to get some heavy cracking in there, which can result in a blowout, which is an immediate failure or loss of air, which can be, you know, scary and dangerous depending on the situation. So I would have somebody take a close look at those tires. If they really are that old, unfortunately, you're probably going to have to replace them. You know, depending on what's on there, you might be able to find some that matches. So you can get the same aesthetics and get a few more years out of it. But I would say likely it needs to have those tires replaced.
If someone brings in to Lloyd's, let's say for an oil change, and the technician is looking at the tires maybe to rotate them, can you tell if those tires are too old? I mean, do they show signs of being brittle, or can the tech find out, I guess, is my question.
Yeah, if you start to see some cracking between the tread, you know, it's kind of like if you, in the wintertime when your hands get real dry and you get cracking in your skin, same idea with these tires. Like, unfortunately, with your hands, you can add some lotion and you'll be fine. Well, tires don't work that way. Once they've kind of dried up, that's kind of the end of them. So, yeah, when it's in for a service, with all the inspections that, you know, folks do, you will notice if the tire wear, how they're wearing, and if there's some cracking from them aging and drying up.
Okay. Texter says this: Hi, Denny and Nick. My seatbelt buckle did not recoil, and it was wedged in the door. Well, now the door open light is on, but the door's closed. What can I do about that?
Well, I suspect that the switch for the door jar switch was in the same vicinity as the seatbelt buckle. So, you know, you can visually inspect that. Sometimes, you know, if it's somehow physically damaged, you can even open the door, you know, look at the dash with the car on. You see it shows the door jarred. Maybe kind of depress that switch a few times, see if you can get a change in there. A lot of times there's like a single set screw that holds them into place, makes it easily replaced. Unfortunately, sometimes if you don't see that, sometimes it's built into the latch itself. And if the seatbelt buckle got kind of intertwined in the latch, it might have damaged something, which is going to cause for replacement. I probably wouldn't ignore a door ajar light because, you know, whether it's that one or another one, you don't want to have a door opening up and somebody falling out. So I would probably, first off, visually inspect it yourself, see if you can figure something there. If not, next time you're in for service, probably mention it to them and they can dig a little bit deeper and figure out what's going on.
Okay. If you have a car care question, keep in mind that Nick will be taking his leave about 7:45. Our time goes by so quickly. Call us, text us, 651-461-9226. Here is another text. Texter has a 2009 Pontiac Vibe, 205,000 miles on it, used for catering deliveries. Each week it tends to need roughly a quart of oil added. There is no leaking on the garage floor, no dark exhaust while driving. What do you think the issue is and the fix needed?
Well, a couple of things. You know, with the emission systems, with the converter, it will clean the exhaust quite well, so you might not notice smoke out the tailpipe, depending to the extent. I think the next thing we need to do is try to determine how is it losing oil. If it's, you know, if it's leaking in a place where it's collecting, you're not seeing it. If it's burning, how is that happening? There's PCV systems that, you know, there's a valve there that can be replaced. You know, if it's something internal to the engine. So a little investigating would be the first step. Depending on what we learn, you know, it's got a few miles and a few years on it, we might kind of recommend a different repair depending on how deep the problem is. So I would say when you're in for service, share that with them. They might want to do like an oil consumption test where they get the oil level at a certain spot, have you drive X number of miles, bring it back, let them measure the actual oil that's being consumed. Inspect spark plugs, intake plumbing, some different things to try to determine where that oil is going. And once we have that information, we can make a better assessment and recommendation.
Here's something for you to think about. Texter has a 2009 Chev 2500. Stable track light is on. The dealer says the ABS control module is defective and they cannot replace it because GM has quit making the part. And they list the part number. They want to know, Texter does, what should I do? What would you do, Nick?
Yeah, we ran into that in no particular manufacturer, but from time to time, as cars get a few years on them, they will no longer make more parts for them, but that doesn't mean there's not one out there. So, you know, you can call back, you can query that part number. Depending what it is, sometimes you can get like a remanufactured. Depending on who did the remanufacturing, we may or may not recommend it. A used one sometimes is an option, depending where it came from and the condition of it. So there's some options out there. The diligence just gets a little bit more. You know, we don't want to have something that's been sitting in a salvage yard for 5 years in the salt and snow in the winter because I don't feel very good about it. But one comes from a different part of the country that's good and clean. That might work just well. Same thing with the remanufactured. You know, I wouldn't buy the cheapest thing I find online because oftentimes they cut corners. That's not what we're looking for. So a little research, a little homework. I think you could probably find a replacement part. Might need some programming. Just keep that in mind. So whoever does do the installation, they should have the capability to program if needed. But a little homework, I'm sure you can find that replacement part.
Yeah, good luck with that. All right, Nick, hang on. We're going to take a break, have a look at that forecast, be right back for the remainder of our car care show. Call us or text us with your car care question, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830 WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive, ASC certified technician there, among other things. 651-461-9226. That's our phone number. It's also our text number, if you prefer that method. Nick, let's grab a phone call. Steve has been hanging on the line from Ham Lake this morning. Thank you, Steve. What is your question for Nick?
Well, Nick, I've got a 07 Trailblazer with about 160,000 on it. And several months ago, I had the ball joints and tie rod assembly and both front wheels replaced. Now, the vehicle tracks straight down the road, but the steering wheel is no longer centered. It's off about an eighth of a turn. And it doesn't make sense to me that why a steering wheel would slip out of alignment, so to speak, after front end work. Now, I haven't had the front end aligned, but the fact that it goes down the road straight tells me I can't figure out what the issue is. I'll hang up and listen.
Very good.
Yeah, that's a good question. So you replace the ball joints and the tie rod. The tie rod length is adjustable. So when we install a new tie rod, it might look very close to the eye, but we're dealing with fractions of an inch when we're talking about an alignment here. So when you install that, what happened is as the car goes down the road, the wheels, even though it was just one side that maybe the tie rod was replaced on, the front wheels are going to divide that, meaning that the wheels are going to find the closest way straight that they can as you head down the road. When they do that, the steering wheel is going to kind of canter a little bit. So I assure you, if you go in for an alignment, you're going to find out that the toe end adjustment is off just a little bit. And when they make that adjustment, the wheels will continue going straight, but then the steering wheel will be straight also. Now keep in mind, if that distance between those tie rods is a little bit different, I understand it's tracking down the road straight, but either the tires are pointed in a very slight amount, or they're pointed away from each other, which is going to cause some uneven wear on those tires. So I would tell you to get that alignment in the next week or so, if all possible. Get that adjustment, and then everything will be square and straight again.
All right. Here's one that might puzzle some folks. It's a 2023 Yukon. Texter says, not every time, but at least once a week, the vehicle does not start. The dealership tells me the battery is good. Now, if somebody brought that into Lloyd's, what would you or your crew do there?
You know, the intermittent problems are the hardest to figure out. And I say this quite often, you know, take notes. The last time you drove the vehicle, the situation, the conditions when you're trying to start the vehicle, anything we can do to try to duplicate. The battery is always the easy target. But if it does and doesn't start, typically if a battery is bad, it's not going to start again after the fact without some assistance. So it kind of rules that out. Then you start thinking ignition switches or starter, the push button start or the cranking starter itself. But without being able to experience that or have a little more information, testing-wise, it's hard to prove, and you know, nobody wants to be in a position to sell you something not knowing if that's going to fix it. So get a journal, try to make some notes and conditions that can kind of help duplicate that problem, so when you do bring it in, you can share that with them, and they can try to create that same circumstance and hopefully be able to duplicate the problem. Once we can duplicate the problem, we can figure out what happened. But until that, it's a little bit of a struggle and can be very frustrating, obviously, because you can't be without your vehicle. And then, you don't want to spend a whole lot of money on all this testing if it's not coming to an end result. So there's a little give and take there for sure. But be patient, collect information, share the information, and this will get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, you're right. Those intermittent problems are frustrating. This texter, Nick, says, I rotate my tires every oil change, 5,000 miles. Is that too often, they ask?
Depends on the vehicle. On my truck, I do, because they're a little more of an aggressive tire tread, and I definitely don't want to buy new tires because they're quite costly. So rotating them every service kind of helps prolong their life. You kind of get them wearing on all four edges, which will help with that. So depending on the type of vehicle, type of tire, your driving style, it may be a good idea every oil change, but sometimes it could be every other or every third. It really depends on you and your vehicle.
Okay. This listener wants to know, does Nick have an opinion on battery charging? Listener says, I've got a new plug-in hybrid, and I've read some things that said the battery charge should be between 80% and 20%. Obviously, that's not real practical. Does Nick have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, there's a lot of information out there. It's kind of like, the battery is your tank of fuel. I like to keep my tank of fuel full. I would like to keep my battery full too. So that's kind of my mindset. My cell phone, I like to keep it 100%. My kids like to keep it at 1%. I don't know why, but that's how they are. So I would say I would try to keep it on the fuller side. You never know situations. You get down below half of a charge and you something comes up, you need that extra juice, you don't have it. So I personally would keep it topped up. Like I said, there's a lot of information out there. I can give you a lot of conflicting information. I don't think there's any proven facts to it. I just don't think the cars have been around long enough to say, boy, if you're going at, you drive it, you're 1 or 2 miles a day and you plug it in every night, that's bad on it. I don't think that's the case. There's some that would argue with me, but I my opinion is to keep it full.
Interesting comeback from another listener on that 2023 Yukon that does not start once in a while. This listener says, if the key is left in the vehicle, all electronics are active and will drain the battery. You need to get the key fob away from the vehicle to deactivate the electronics. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but it certainly is interesting.
Yeah, most vehicles will time out. After a period of time, the car shuts everything down. You know, because there are plenty of folks who park their vehicles in the garage and leave the keys in the car and don't have issues. Obviously, if the key's in the vehicle, be careful there because somebody can hop in and take it. So probably not the best practice. But typically, most vehicles, after a period of time, the car is going to time out, is what we call it, which will shut everything down.
I think we have time for one more text. Texter says, 2017 Ford Fiesta with a code PO456. It says, very small evap leak. Is there anything you would suggest I should look for to find that leak?
You probably can't find it on your own. A very small leak, typically we need to introduce smoke. We have a little smoke machine that we put into the evaporative system, and then we wait a few moments and look for the smoke. You know, it could be a seal, it could be a fitting, a line, it could be a sensor, it could be a solenoid. There's a dozen different possibilities going from the rear of the vehicle to the front of the vehicle. You'll never see it with your eye without the smoke to give you a little assistance. So unfortunately, this one you probably need to get a little extra help.
Let's help Mary out here before we run. Vehicle, Mazda 2023 CX-9, 60,000 miles. When turning the steering wheel, it clicks. No problem when driving straight. Any thoughts? That comes from Mary.
Make a note of that when you're in for service. Have somebody test drive it. This makes sure everything's tight and safe. You know, a clicking noise with their steering makes me think that something's worn or loose. To what degree? Obviously, we don't know. If it seems to be handling and driving fine, I suspect you're okay. But I would probably make a note of that when you're in for service. Have someone get a close look. Take it for a test drive. Try to find the source of the clicking noise.
All right. Nick, we have plumb run out of time. Again, a happy belated birthday. And for those that need some help from Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Yes, sir. If you have a question, don't be afraid to call. We can always help. 651-228-1316. And if you're out for a stroll on Grand Avenue in St. Paul, stop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand. And finally, check out our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
We'll do that very thing, and let's talk next week.
Sounds like a date. Thanks, Denny.
And thank you. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Get ready for Ted Farrell's Wine Chat, and then get those lawn and garden questions ready for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney in the 8 o'clock hour. That's all straight ahead here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.